Have your Bibles open up with me. If anything changes, we'll let you know. Open your Bible up with me. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you will. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for this book. Therefore, the Brother Johnny prayed tonight. These people come here for not just to sit, to be blessed. And Lord, I've studied hard, but this has been a hard week. It's been triple duty for me this week. And I just pray that you'd help my mind now, Lord, get cleared on what I've studied for weeks on. I pray for the brother call a few minutes before I got here tonight. Talking about cancer. Lord, please bless him tonight. What a terrible thing all of a sudden. Be in good health and find out you have this bad disease that everybody is concerned about and hope never get. And it's devastating when we're faced with these things. And it takes a little time for God to get the heart in line to understand that God still loves us and all things work together for good. They will love God and call according to his purpose. So we pray for him and his family tonight, and we ask you help us. Help us be a blessing to these people. John's already praying. That's my heart's desire. Sometimes I'm heavy, burdened, Lord, when I come to the pulpit, but amazing how you lift me up. And I pray tonight you do just that. And we ask that for your glory. That's all we ask for. Bless someone tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. That's what we're going to look at for just a moment tonight. We've been looking at contrast between Christ and Antichrist. And last week I was talking about some activities that the Antichrist is involved in. Number one, we said he rose to power. See that in Revelation chapter 6. And he comes to the throne in power without war. He conquers without war because he has the power to show peace. And even Daniel chapter 8 verse 25 talked about when he come, he'd bring peace not only to the world, but as far as Israel is concerned, they will look at him as being a peacemaker to some degree. The second thing we said, that he had a world government. Revelation 17, we looked at that. And he told them to come out from the world. In chapter 18, verse 4, in the tribulation period, we said an amazing thing, that back in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, God's word tells Christians in the age of grace to come out from the world. Be ye separated, saith the Lord. And then we saw the Antichrist dominated with world economy. Revelation chapter 17, verse 13. When the kings of this world gave to this beast, which is represents the Antichrist, gave him the power, gave their power to him, that he would be the superpower. By the way, when that happened, it came about the mid-trib, when in turn that Satan's cast out of heaven. Antichrist has had some terrible situation, even to the place of death, is what it looks like, and the way the scripture talks about he was, is, and is not, or that he was, is not, and is. And so it looks like he had, and it's automatically understanding, I believe, that at that time Satan entered into the Antichrist for his last 3.5 years. Because immediately when he did that, you see, he made war against the Lamb. And he began to move towards that direction to try to defeat the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't know anything except what God allows him to know. By the way, he read this Bible as good as you and I can. Yeah. But on the other hand, he may not be able to put it all together, but he knows some things. And it seems like he has in his mind that if he can do enough damage against God's people who God loves so much and made in his image, maybe he changed God's mind. He'll never change God's mind. God's mind is set to work according to his laws, according to his directions, commands. He set everything in order when he made man, and it's going just like he said it would go, even though it don't seem logical. And that's what we've been talking about for the last number of weeks here, when something don't seem logical, what we're to do. So that means simply that when they gave him this power, that is his military power, and also the economic power. And he's going to take the ecclesiastical religious power. And, of course, tonight we're going to pick up on, if in 2 Thessalonians, that move into the Antichrist atheistic religion, what he believes. Now, he's going to start with the first 3.5 years, look like he's a good man. He'll let anybody do anything. You can believe anything you want to, and that time do anything you want to and call it religion. There won't be a lot said, because his plan is to work the last 3.5 years of destroying what he set up as peace. It won't be peace at that time. And I want to go back now, and that's when we look at 2 Thessalonians, because at the first, the theme of the Antichrist religion will be, do whatever you want to do in your name. If you got a religion, do it. He doesn't care why. He don't believe the real God anyhow, in the sense of trusting. The devils, you know, believe, but they don't change, they believe there's a God, but they don't change their heart or mind, James tells us. And so here, the religion would be in that day, kind of like our nation is saying now. By the way, I believe it's the spirit of Antichrist is letting this our nation to say the same thing that the Antichrist said in the tribulation period. You can believe anything you want to. Do anything you want to. The Antichrist religion will allow that first three. How do you think he's going to get everybody in the world? You see, those people who are not saved don't understand there's only one way. So if they don't know the one way and they have their own way, then who's to say that someone else may not have their own way? So you know what they all believe? They believe God's going to see that they all had were sincere, and therefore they just think that God's going to let them all get in because they were sincere. You and I know, though, that God says there's one way.
That's right.
And if there's only one way, you can't get in except that way. So you can see how all the other masses of religion and people that believe anything you want to, from that which has to do with the ground, the trees, the stars, you know, anything they put in trust into would consolidate itself against those who believe the true way. That's the reason Satan will have such a hard time in getting an army at the end of everything because they will be fighting Christ himself then, or get to battle to fight him, and he'll destroy them by the word of his mouth. And that's a wonderful thing that we can see. So he's going to be in charge of everything. He's already got the world powers together. He's already got the economic system in his hand. And now he's moving towards the religious system at that time. And he will make that peace treaty with Israel. And when that's done, the world will think in anything about Israel in the years she's had, well, this must be a great man. Every time you see Israel signing anything or going to sign anything or talking peace with another country with someone who's an arbitrator or a mediator, they think that's a great guy. You know that? If our president goes somewhere and does something between Israel and someone else, they think that's a great guy to do that. And maybe it is in the eyes of the world. But what God is telling us, that the Antichrist is going to do that. Now, the spirit of Antichrist is alive today. It was alive in John's day in 1 John. He told us about that. Any spirit that denies Jesus Christ, let me just go over there and read that to you. Jesus Christ coming into flesh is spirit of Antichrist. So that says to me, right off the cuff of my arm, the fact that if one tells me that Jesus Christ is not who he is, he's denying. Somebody can't say, well, I believe Jesus Christ came, but he's not really Son of God. But he's denied. That's the spirit of Antichrist. And so he says in 1 John, he says, and then again, and you command I write, let's see, in 1 John chapter, it's 1 John chapter 4. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby we know the spirit of God. Notice he said, hereby ye know the spirit of God. In other words, he could have said, we know the Spirit of God, but he said in 4, John has no problem in understanding who the Spirit of God. And he said, you've got enough information to know if you're saved about the Spirit of God. And he said, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, I've had debates on that, and people say, well, there are a lot of folks who believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, but they're talking about physical body only. Ladies and gentlemen, he came in the flesh, but he came in the flesh as God in the flesh. And what you're talking about, you can't deny the things about Jesus Christ and believe some things and deny some things. He's either all he said he was or he's nothing. And I've got news for you. He's all he said he was. He's all God said he was. So therefore, believing about him coming in the flesh is not enough. It's like someone said, I believe in God, that's enough. But the devils do that, and I've already told you, they tremble because they believe it. They know he exists. They've seen him, and yet for some reason in their mind they fail. And when we know why they rebelled against God. But some reason that rebellion has led them to think that they're going to have power somewhere down the road. Satan still got them thinking somehow or another they're going to come out of this thing. But notice he said, in every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not, every spirit that confesses that not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof he heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. He says, even now, 90 AD, when John wrote this, that spirit of Antichrist is in the world. So I've got my antennas up. When I hear someone talk about Jesus Christ, and they don't come biblically oriented who he is, automatically, I know that's the spirit of Antichrist. No one can tell me that they believe in Jesus Christ and yet be who he is, and there's another way to get to God. Because you're tearing him down. Once you're saying one thing, you believe another thing, you tear everything down, you believe, because God said he's the only way. Amen. So when I look at, when they talk about, oh, I believe Jesus Christ came and died, but he just died, he didn't really rise again. That's not going to get it. You can't halfway tell the truth and halfway tell an error and have all truth. If you have truth, you're going to have truth. If you have half error and half truth, you got error. Because you can't go together. Now go back to 2 Thessalonians. Let's look at this. I thought I'd finish, but I won't be able to do tonight, I guess. But I want you to look with me. He said, now in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. I like that. Now he said, I beg of you, listen. And by the authority that he has about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's his second coming, and by our gathering together unto him. Can you tell what that is? It is, but what is it? The gathering together unto him. The rapture of the church. And go back over 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and he's already told them about that in his first letter. And so he said, now I beseech you, I beg of you, and listen to what I'm fixing to say. Because I'm telling you this, but the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and also by our gathering together to him, and that's going to be in the air one day, the saints of God. Now watch in verse 2. Why should they do this? That ye be not soon shaken in mind. That's up to do with what you think now. Notice, or be troubled. That has to do with what happens in the sense that you begin to worry and fret and has to even affect the heart. And neither, he says, by spirit. Don't let this, notice, be not shaken in your mind or be troubled by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us. Even if you get a letter from us. I don't know why Paul would say that, but he must have thought there could possibly be something be sent when somebody misunderstood it. But if it comes to this subject, as that day of Christ is at hand, if anyone comes and say the day of Christ is at hand right now, be careful about that. Because there's some things that have got to happen. And he's going to give a list of things that's got to happen that probably hadn't thought of before the Antichrist literally does what he's going to do. Now watch. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. Now let me ask you a question. How is a person going to deceive you? How can we be deceived? What?
By lies.
But at the same time, if we don't know this book, we can be easy to deceive. And ladies and gentlemen, I know you don't have the time to spend like I do, or it may not take the time to study like I do, but I'll tell you this. I believe that if you listen with your heart, as you listen with your ear, you're going to learn some things about the end of age. But I'll tell you this, you take a stand for it, and you'll have trouble. You'll have trouble. It's nothing unusual to someone to send me something, email, or most of the letters. I don't have the one at the house, and I get what I get to the church. But I have enough of things as it is. The other ladies look at the emails and so forth and keep me informed. But it's very, very easy to be deceived if you don't have the Word of God hid in your heart. And then he goes on, he said, for that day, now he's going into some tremendous instruction here. That day of Christ is at hand, or day of the Lord. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now that is the Antichrist, the son of perdition. Notice what he says. Who opposes and exalteth himself of all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. Isn't it amazing? He exalts himself that above God, that he shows himself in this, that he as God sitting in the temple of God, he sets himself up called God, or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God's not holding back a thing here. He said, you people wanting to see supernatural things in the tribulation period, this man going to do supernatural things. And he's going to sit in the temple of God as God, and that's just not all. He's going to show himself in the eyes of men that he's supernatural. He's not going to be somebody claiming to be healed and he can't check it out. He's not going to be somebody claiming to see something that's supernatural or call something supernatural and you can't verify it like we have so many people talking about today. They're the whole world. Listen, all the networks will be here to verify these supernatural things. And he'll get the credit. There are some things today that's done that God talks about doing that God could be involved or not be involved in, and yet when it happens somehow or another, it's within his alignment of things at the end of the age. You don't tell me all these things you see in wind currents and tornadoes and all that stuff, somehow or another, that is showing us what's coming. God's in charge of everything. And they work just like his laws. And what I like about it, he can change his laws anytime he wants to. And so here, he said, just keep in mind that this man, don't be deceived by any means, for that day shall come. They've fallen away. Now, if there's ever been that time, anybody who looks at this book will know there's a falling away from the things of God today. I've lived long enough to see it. There's a much more falling away today than when I was a young boy, 70 years ago, 65 to 70 years ago, a young person, what little time I could remember. It's a lot different today. I'm telling you today, I'm amazed at what people do and say God should be pleased with. And there was a time you couldn't get nobody who believed this book believed that God would be pleased some things they talk about today. And not only that, but they'll tell you, they'll have men in so-called the cloth, those who are in charge of great congregations to tell you the same thing. That God somehow or another has changed his mind. No, what they've done is changed the book. God still steals minds here. Now watch what he says. Paul covers a lot of stuff here in verse 5. He says, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. Paul said, when I was with you back there in the book of Acts and the things that was going on as he talked to the church at Thessalonica, he said, I told you these things. Remember this now. And these things mean Paul told them a lot of stuff, but they couldn't get it all. And that's the way it is with you and I. We hear so much, we don't get it all. I guarantee you, things are thrown at us today in information so much, you won't get it all. You have to take your time, sift through it, think about it, and it just floods your mind sometimes, even into things, especially if you have a variety of person involved with things. You find that it just bogs you down if you're not careful. And Paul said, hey, I've told you all this. The only thing about this, this church ought to know that they didn't just get it from Paul. It's the Holy Spirit who's taking it and sinking it in. It's a lot different than you study in this book what you see in this secular world. If you look in this secular world and don't line up with the things of God, you may have a hard time understanding it from a mental aspect. But I'll tell you, if you're in this book that lines up with God Almighty, the Holy Spirit's there to help you. You've got the best instructor that the universe ever seen. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And we have a documentation of that too, you see. He says, now remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. Now watch. He said, and now ye, like this, and now ye know, Church of Thessalonica, ye can meet anyone here that studied this book and believes and has looked at this. Ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Notice, ye know, those people know. What withholdeth? The word withholdeth here means that which restrains. You know what restrains the evil of this world. What he's talking about, and he showed you a few minutes later in that, that he might be revealed in his time. In other words, to be this he now, this little he says here, in this he be revealed in time. There's a time when the Antichrist is going to be revealed as a person. He's not just a spirit. He is a person. And he lines that up with what God is doing as the Holy Spirit. Notice he said, for the mystery of iniquity. Now, mystery is something that's been hid from ages past and now it's been revealed. And the mystery of iniquity, iniquity meaning lawlessness. Notice that. In other words, it's one thing to have sin, but when iniquity comes, it's lawlessness. That means people don't even pay no mind to God's law. And if you don't pay any mind to God's law, you're not going to pay much mind to man's law. Isn't that where we're at today? Did you know that good, honest people who live right will serve worse sometimes in court than the wickedest person you ever seen? We're, folks, everything's reversed now. You know what that is? God is letting us know. Man is getting worse and worse. They think they're getting better and better. But the book we line up with says they're getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And we know God's got to step in and stop it. Because it'll never outlive or outrule him. And he's got to put it down. Now watch what he said. For the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness, this doth already work. Well, we know that now. This is 54 AD. He talks on this. And he says it's already a work in their lives, this world. And he said, work, only he who now letteth will let. It's interesting. Only he who now letteth will let. Only he who now hindereth will hinder. Until he be taken out of the way. This he is the same he that he be taken out of the way. This is not the same he as verse 5. You know who's going to be taken out of the way? The Spirit of God. You know how? Where does the Spirit of God dwell now? In us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this helps me understand. People say that we're premillennials. That's not true. We're post. Don't tell me. The Holy Spirit's not going to leave here till we leave. We are His house. We are where He lives. And when we get a glorified body, He won't no longer have to be here to help us. And in the tribulation period, hear me, if I understand anything about the Bible, in the tribulation period, people's mind will go back to like Old Testament times. They won't have like the Spirit of God we have now that tabernacles in us. There's going to be an Old Testament. They either believe God or don't believe God. If they believe God, they'll do what God says to do. If they don't, they won't do what God says to do. In the age of grace, we live in a wonderful age. We live in the age of grace, that where God Almighty comes, gives us a message, saves us, and all of that makes it possible for us to go live with Him when we die. He said He'd never leave us, forsake us. But these people in the tribulation period are going to die, most of them for the cause of Christ. You and I in grace may die, but it's possible most of us won't for Christ. Now, we're going to die to Seth, to live for Him, but it might be one of these days you and I get killed because we stand for Christ. I tell you this, those in the foreign field are more apt to, but right now, I'm not so sure. But if we don't, God's grace is given to us in this particular day. It's a wonderful time to live. And He said, now he who led it, until he be taken out of the way. That's when the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of the way. See, the restraint now is the Holy Spirit. What withhold is? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is holding back lawlessness. Oh, I know it's supreme. But listen, ever since Jesus came and died and rose again, He said that in John's day, the spirit of Antichrist is already there. There is always a massive movement of lawlessness, sin and iniquity, but the Holy Spirit of God, can you imagine what it's going to be like when the Holy Spirit's taken out? Can you imagine, as bad as it is now with the Holy Spirit here, what it'd be like if we didn't have the Holy Spirit of God? Folks, I don't think you can. I don't think any of us can. But in that day, it's a little bit different. It's going to go back like the Old Testament times where that's 7 years. That's the reason. There's no restraining power except the fact that even in that mess, God will have a lot of folks believe that kingdom of the gospel. And they're going to believe the record that God gives about that for that 144,000 Jews that's preaching that. And many of those are dying. Some of those will go into the millennial reign because they'll get down at the end and be able to survive it at that time. Now watch what he says in verse 8. And then shall that wicked one, that's the reason I know, until he be taken out of the way, the Holy Spirit be taken out. And when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, then shall that wicked be revealed. Nother. In other words, it means he's going to be in act. And the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That means he's going to render him inactive. God's going to destroy, render the Antichrist inactive at the end of this time. And we'll see how that happened. And in amazing, that Paul would give this church of Thessalonica, they would worry about their loved ones. I'm kind of glad they were. I'm kind of glad that because we wouldn't have had that if we were not. They would worry about loved ones who have died and Christ hadn't come back. They were looking for Christ to come back, and they died and Christ hadn't come back. And now Paul is saying, here's some things that God is saying is going to happen before that takes place. And today we have an insight. Isn't it amazing? We have an insight that they didn't even have to start with until they got this book or got this letter that God moved the Holy Spirit to write, Paul to write on. And now watch, even him who's coming, now watch this. He says, shall destroy it with the brightness of his coming, render him inactive. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs, and watch, lying wonders. Brother Anderson said, what a good line. There it is. All those wonders they see, isn't this great? Boy, isn't this God? Look at what, it's a lying wonder. And then he goes on and he says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because why? All this deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might believe, that they might be saved. Why is this going to happen? Tell me. I just read it to you. Why is God going to do this? Somebody, God won't do this. This is terrible. Why is God going to do this? What did he say the last part of that verse? Because they perceive not the love of the truth. This is what God is saying, is love of truth. It's love of God giving truth of what truth is, what he's going to do. Because he's God. And because sin must be destroyed, that they might be saved. They refuse to lead in this. Notice the love of truth here is the love that God has done for them. The love of truth for us is the love of Jesus Christ for us. The love of truth there is the love that God will save those who believe that gospel message of the kingdom. Notice. Now, and for this cause, watch this now. Why is God going to do what he's going to do in this verse? You know, the Bible looks like when you hear people talk about what God says he's going to do, and their idea of God is entirely different, they begin to put a defense up, but God would not do this or that. But God is saying what he's going to do, and he tells us why he's going to do it. It make a lot more less sense if he didn't tell us why he's going to do something and go ahead and do it, but not only tell us what he's going to do, and he tells us why he's going to do it. That helps me, Brother Tyre. He helps me not blaspheme God and say God is not God. He helps me to say, I believe, thank God, I understand the God I'm trusting in. He's a God, he's my Father, and as my Father, there's a relationship with him. He might banish someone to hell who's not saved, but he's only going to chastise me as a child because he's my Father. Amen. Then he goes on and he says, and for this cause shall God send them strong delusion. Watch this next line. That they should believe a lie. Preacher, you mean to tell me that God is going to send strong delusion among these people that they believe a lie? God's causing them to believe a lie? You know what? Let me tell you what God is doing. You know, I don't know, and maybe I'm hypothetical saying something here. I believe sometimes God just gets sick of all the sin in his world. He said, hey, I'll give you my forbearance. I've extended my love. The age of grace has been going on 2,000 years. Even the law that was given, what was about, what, 1,500 years? And the grace has been going on 2,000 years. Think of God in his grace has extended to this wicked universe or this wicked earth for 2,000 years. To be sure, we ought to be better now than we were 200 or 300 years ago. But we're not. We're worse as a human race. We have more people. More sin, more everything. You know what it is, folks? Could I tell you? I can't prove this, but I know I can prove what I've read right here. I prove the fact that he said, and for this cause, because they will not believe the truth and because they will not be saved according to that method and that day of believing the gospel of the kingdom, for this cause shall they, God, send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Watch this, verse 12, that they all might be damned. Why? Who believe not the truth? But had pleasure in unrighteousness. Could I tell you, would you listen just a minute? You know what it seemed like to me God is saying to this earth after 6,000 years and how long unless he waits? If all that I've done, you didn't want it, and you wanted to believe a lie, so I'm going to let you believe a lie. Here it is. All that I've done to show you the truth, you want to believe? Hey, folks, listen to me. If I would say to you in here tonight, every one of you, I believe, who say, would say, you know, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. That's how I got saved, and I don't believe there's another way. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know there are people who would debate you about that. I don't say argue, I say debate. They'll debate you about that. On the other hand, that's coming today, God said, look, if that's what you want, that's what you get. I'll give it to you. Didn't God do that in the Old Testament? Amen. You remember King Saul? Israel wanted a king. Let us be like a... Why were they wanting to be like other people when they had a blessing of God on them? But those, we want to be like other people. We want a king. God said, if you get a king, this is what they're going to do to your families. This is what they're going to do to your people. This is what they're going to do to your nation. Everything you've got, you're going to have to, the king will get it because kingship is different than government like we have a democracy. The king owns everything. You only have suffered to work for the king and for the nation this way. He said, they'll take your families, they take your children. Go read what he said when he's talking to in the scriptures about King Saul. And so he said, well, that's what you want, what you get. So they let him have, they wanted Saul. High. Saul, man alive. He, I don't know how tall he was, but he was a tall fellow. He was taller than most Jews. As a matter of fact, in a crowd, you see Saul first. He looked like a man. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful? Everybody would look up to Saul even because of his height. That's who they wanted. It wasn't God's choice, but he allowed it. If that's what you want, that's what you get. You see, God sooner or later says, I've done everything I could do. I've got to close this thing out somewhere or another. My plan and purpose is in motion. And in that day, he had a plan for the nation of Israel that's coming. He knew it's coming. He's got a plan now for the church. He knows the end's coming. And we have that which God has given us a chance to work in our particular day. When I look at 9, at chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, nothing can take peace until there is a change. There's no way in this world that when you look at this peace they're talking about, there has to be a change for peace to be taken away. Now, all this peace he had the first 3.5 years, he had it, but now it's going to be taken away. When I see that, you know, the flood could not come until Noah was safely in the ark. Would you at least say amen to that? Do you know Sodom and Gomorrah could not be destroyed until Lot and his family got out? You see what I'm saying? When you talk about peace, ladies and gentlemen, nothing can take peace until there is a change. In other words, when you talk about the things that's going to happen, I probably should say to even make peace until things are changed. Judgment cannot come to a planet, and that's the planet Earth, until the church is removed in the age of grace. Any more than Sodom and Gomorrah can be destroyed until Lot and his family gets out. Any more than Noah, who found righteousness in God's eyes, the flood couldn't come until God prepared a way to take care of him. And if there have ever been fickle people like the Jews, we are as Christians. God's not going to let us have to go through things in turn that he knows how weak we are in circumstances when certain happens, things happen. And the tribulation period is going to be the worst time this earth's ever seen. It'd be worse than the flood. Now, everybody died on the earth at that time, but the drowning, I think, would be a whole lot. Death is death, and it's hard, but drowning would be a lot easier, I think, than being destroyed by fire and brimstone and other things. Of course, death is death. I know that. So during the tribulation period, this world will see again what it looks like to live like Old Testament saints did in their time, to learn for themselves under the restraining, the unrestraint of wickedness. In other words, in the tribulation period, there's been nothing wicked in the Old Testament in the whole time of 4,000 years compared to what's going to happen in wickedness in the tribulation period. And it's going to come fast. It won't be spread over a lot of years so people can just gradually adjust to it. It's going to come so fast, pain is going to be felt at that particular time. And then he says simply this, that they all may be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in righteousness. We're talking about the Antichrist and his religious system as he's already conquered the economic and also the political system in his particular day. And then he makes that covenant with Israel, and I've got about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. He makes that covenant with Israel. We see in Daniel 9:27, notice that talks about the 70 weeks and so forth. And he says in chapter 9 and verse 27, he says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. These are weeks, 7 weeks in a week. He said 1 week, 6 to 9 weeks have passed in Israel's history. The seventh week comes in that 7-year period, the tribulation period. He said, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice of the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate even to the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In the middle of that week, 40 years before Jesus Christ ever came, he talked about this. And by the way, 2,000 years have passed since then, and he's still having the book is going to happen. Somebody said, well, maybe it's not going to happen. Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen just as sure as you and I here. And so the Antichrist will make a covenant with Israel for 7 years, and then he'll break that three and a half years. And then you see the death and his resurrection, Revelation chapter 17 again. The language used here is kind of like a language that's used about Christ in Revelation 1:18. We read that last week where Jesus talked about, let me just read it to you again in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18 about himself. And he copies that here. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Well, if you look at the Antichrist, he was, he's not, and he is. And so the same language before he died and after that, or something drastic happened to him at that time. This is Satan's man. His resurrection will take this world by storm, just like Jesus Christ is mentioned. He mentioned him. And of course, I really think the indwelling of the Antichrist now is Satan himself. He's not going to let Antichrist do what he's going to do. He takes him over completely this last 3.5 years because he's going to rapidly do things. He's going to rapidly do it. That's when you get the mark of the beast. People, you can't live unless you have that mark. Those who don't have it will die. He'll make him war with the Lamb. He's getting ready for that at this particular time. And then the other destruction is found in Revelation 19. Let's read it and we'll go home and pick on up something else next week. Revelation chapter 19. I want to read this because it'll leave you on a high note. Revelation chapter 19, see Jesus coming back, 11 verse through 16. And verse 17 said, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, all the fowls of the fly to the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God. Isn't it amazing? The angel said, all the birds and the fowls of the heaven, gather over here in the valley of Jehoshaphat. Get over here. You're going to have the feast of your life. Don't sound mighty pretty, does it? Watch what happens. That ye may eat the flesh of who? Kings. And if ye eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, Antichrist, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before this him that was the beast, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. That led them to believe he was God, and they had to get the mark. And they said, you know, he's God. And he said, do it, let's do it. And he deceived everyone who got the mark of the beast was deceived. Notice what he says. And them that worship his image, these both were cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant, that's right, brother. Praise God. The Antichrist. Now watch. This is the Antichrist and the false prophet. But watch. Satan is still loose for a few minutes. Watch. And he said, and the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Isn't it amazing? The word of God is so powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's not the fact he's got a sword riding a horse slashing everybody as he goes. He speaks his word. It's sharp and it cuts and it destroys. It's like Adam's been exploded in a bomb as his word goes through it. Maybe his word is so powerful it ignites the atoms that gets to them and they're completely consumed with the power of his mouth. And then he says simply, and I saw an angel come down. Like this morning. Now here's one we shout, brother. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent. Listen, God is letting you know who he is. A dragon, that ain't the Lord. But we're going to listen to that. That ain't Satan. Listen a little bit longer. He laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, everything he's called him in the book of Revelation, he names him here. And notice he says, and the devil, which is the devil. And Satan, and bound it. By the way, it covers it all, doesn't it? I just like that. I love that. Who, Lord? That dragon. Who, Lord? That serpent. Who, Lord? Satan. Who, Lord? The devil. He's got him covered, hasn't he? Is any doubt who he's talking about here? Isn't God wonderful? I mean, someone read that and say, well, I don't believe he meant that. Man, are you off your rock if you don't believe that? Notice what he said. He said simply this, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little seed. Even God says, it's going to be a little seed, and he'll be loose after that 1,000 years. Now, what amazes me about this, God is real precise as he says this. It's amazing. He has a chain. You know, if God can do this here, he can do it anytime. No problem with Satan, no problem with him if he wants to. He just allows him to do things. We have a problem with him. He's more powerful than I am. He can conquer me anytime he wants to. I'm glad I got Jesus in me, folks, because he will not. Hey, you think you see some bad things now. If Jesus wanted anything, you would see some bad things. And by the way, I would you too. There's a restraint in us to hold the Holy Spirit of God. He can restrain us as much so as he can restrain wickedness in this world. He's just as powerful in us as he is against the evil of this world. And then a wonderful thing, there are things that God will convict your heart about when you stand in this book, because you'll understand the only thing that really matters is what he said and what he does for us in this life. And so I thank the Lord. We see that the Antichrist and false prophet cast into the lake of fire alive before the great white throne judgment later, and we see that coming up in chapter 20. I read that, and it said, and he said in verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loose. I got to quit. Shall be loose out of this prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. What bothers me? How in the world, after 1,000 years, he can get this many people? Because the hearts hadn't been changed. The only thing they know what is to be suppressed in a society of perfection where there's no resistance of Satan. There is no restraining of Satan here. He's already restrained. He's in the bottomless pit. Without his influence, things will be a lot better even now where we're at. So that's what happened here. He said, together the battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. How in the world, after 1,000 years, everything went into the millennium reign is going to be exactly what comes out of the tribulation period because they believe the gospel message or the message of the kingdom. But here's the thing. There'll be hundreds and thousands of people born in the millennium reign. And they'll raise up in a perfect society and everything will look kind of normal, but it goes to show if the heart has not been changed, Satan loose can influence a lot of people that he's still right. You know, I see that sometimes. You can see that people raised in a Christian home, and they're isolated, set around God. They see, as we say, a family trying to serve God and so forth. And then in this world, if they're let out when they get into adulthood a little bit, it's not uncommon to see some of them kick out of the harness. Because they've never been faced with that before. And they think, well, this is another world. And then within a few years, they come and say, man alive, have I been deceived? I had better where it was at. God reveals truth. That's what's going to happen here. These people know nothing but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, perfection as far as peace on this earth. And now Satan has run loose, and he takes the armies he gets, and he runs through here, and he touches everybody's heart that he can, and there'll be, as the sand of the sea, there'll be thousands, millions of people, no doubt, that will follow him, thinking that he's got something better than what Christ has offered that years they've been here. How do I know that? Because he had the power to convince Eve he had something better than God. That's the reason she did what Satan said rather than listen to God. And notice what he said. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire, watch this, fire came down from, isn't it what I like this, you know, can I say, I can't prove this, but it seemed like God says, that's it. He ain't going to say anything. I've had it with you. I'm sure you don't. That's what I'd say, amen. You would too. I've had it with you. And he calls fire from heaven, God down from God out of heaven, and devour them. That's our God. That's our God. Father, thank you again for the study. When we find God doesn't seem to be logical in most men's eyes, ears, we know we have to trust him. His ways not our ways. The Lord, his thoughts are not our thoughts. He knows the end from the beginning. And I thank you for this tonight to see, and we moved a couple of things about God being logical, not logical in our eyes, but logical in his eyes, and then we'll finish this series of studies. Somehow help us, Lord, to see you. Bless your holy name. Holy Spirit, thank you, God. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for taking a role in our life. If it were not for that, man alive, this world has a lot to say about us. We are saved. They criticize us and mock us and laugh and ridicule. But Lord, maybe sometime the flesh takes over. But I'm so glad to know there's a power in us that helps us look at ourselves through the Word of God. And I can imagine what it would be if we didn't have the Holy Spirit of God. We look around this world, the evil people, and we see people not saved. Now, there's some good people on this earth, Lord. It's bad to be good and not know Christ. But we know wickedness runs in the hearts of those who are not saved. And dear Father, we just understand there's a blessing of the Holy Spirit living in us to help us see ourselves like God sees us through His Word when there are things maybe not should be in our lives. Please help your people. Help people be blessed tonight. Lord, let not, because I have a triple thing this week, let it not be that they'd be burdened, but be blessed. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.